Let's talk about Target Circle. By the way, it's the same program that you know and you love and you use, but now with automatic deals. Here's the thing. The all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. Maybe you don't have it. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. It's already been awesome. Now it's awesomer, if that's a word. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go.
Come on, Bobby.
Transmitting across America.
Now turn it up.
Let's go.
Welcome to Wednesday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
Coming up just a little bit this hour, Adam Sandler will be on. So pretty excited about that. I do want to check in, Amy, about your party you had. You had a bunch of moms from the neighborhood that you had invited over. No kids, right?
No kids.
Well, and just, the point was?
To create community within our neighborhood and just get to know one another.
But really the point was?
To get to know people and be a friendly neighbor.
Uh-huh.
And for my neighbors to like me.
Uh-huh. Amy had some issues in her last neighborhood. Wasn't her fault.
Wasn't my fault.
I don't think.
It was a misunderstanding.
Where apparently all the neighborhood moms signed a letter and
one
said, we
mom.
Don't want you here.
But she represented all of them.
Yeah, she said she did anyway.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. They didn't want me to leave. They actually said, hey, I hope our kids can hang out after she sent me a really rude email. But yeah, apparently I just didn't wave enough, but I didn't know anybody was there to wave at.
So new neighborhood, new life. All right.
Yeah, like I moved in my neighborhood during COVID, couldn't really get together. And I'm like, you know what? Now there's no excuse. Wide open. Sent out texts, emails, figured out. I mean, some of the women that came over, I had never even seen their face before.
So people showed up.
Yes.
Wow. I would never go to somebody random's house.
Yeah, seven total.
Wow.
And I feel like it went really well. I guess that's my, I don't know how the other women felt, but the group text message chain, you know, the next day was, last night was so fun, we'll do it again. So I guess they thought it went well too.
So there were people you'd never met before that showed up?
Yeah. Like I would have passed them at the grocery store and never known they were my neighbor.
Never another letter.
No,
yeah.
I wouldn't have known they were my neighbor. I just had never, we'd never been outside at the same time or something. I just had never seen their face. And I was like,
which is crazy they came to your house.
Yeah.
I'm not going to somebody's house. I've never seen their face before. I think it was a
but
trap.
But they were friends with like another neighbor that was coming. And so they, you know, came over together.
So you all hang out. What do you do?
Well, I had, it's kind of, everyone was kind of standing around like in, you know, groups of two.
Spin the bottle,
talking.
Classic.
And I had, you know, wine and cheese and crackers for that vibe. Because I was like, is that the vibe of this neighborhood? So then just in case that wasn't the vibe, I also had margaritas and guacamole.
Stripper. Oh.
That's another vibe.
She had another room ready in case that one.
No. So I was like, here's two sections where you can choose from, whatever your vibe. And then we sat around the table and I have these like icebreaker cards, concrete conversations. And we pulled questions from the jar.
Was it weird like a first date at first where you're just kind of like, I don't really know how to proceed here?
Yeah, I mean, everyone was just kind of talking to someone they knew. But then once I said, okay, let's gather around the kitchen table, we all sat around, we played the game, and that, you know, opened people up. And they were like level one questions, so easy stuff. And then we all talked about how we're going to do something again, like maybe a cooking class all together, or we're all going to go play pickleball.
So do you like them?
Yes.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have one you want to be your friend, like you really dialed in on?
They're all lovely.
And here's the thing about a lot of people. All aren't lovely.
They were. Everyone at that table was lovely.
Nice. They could have been lovely that night, but we all have personality differences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, you know, if these people talk to my last neighbor, I'm not lovely.
Did anyone hit you up and want to hang out one-on-one?
Not yet, but it's only been a little bit.
Today, though.
But
yeah.
You know what else it did? I just want to encourage other people to try to do this. Like, get out there, try to meet people in your space, because you never know when you might need their help. And or your kids can get connected, because my kids aren't necessarily really plugged in with the other kids, because again, we just don't see each other. And boom, Stevenson's already had two play dates since that gathering.
They're still called play dates at like 11?
No, I don't say that to him, but I don't know how else to say it.
He's already made two new friends.
Neighborhood kids, because the mom said, hey, my son's walking up the street. And I'm like, sweet, I'll send Stevenson out.
Well, that's weird too. I'm gonna.
Why? What's weird?
I'll just send him out.
Yeah. Go play. Get outside, child.
That's awesome, though. I'm really proud of you that you did that. Mm-hmm. You stayed with it. You had everybody over. You paid for it.
Yeah, we're gonna do it again too.
Yeah, good.
And it'll feel good. Next time I need to get an egg for something, I'm not gonna go to the
store. Boom! You've already invested. That's right.
I'm just going to my neighbor's
eggs
house.
Eggs and sugar for everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's go over and open up the mailbag.
You send an email and we read it on the air. It's something we call Bobby's Mailbag. Yeah.
Hello, Bobby Bones. I'm wondering if it would be okay to date my best friend's ex-girlfriend. They were together for 10 years, but she has recently shown interest in me. For context, he abruptly broke off the relationship a couple years ago, and he moved his whole life to Minnesota. He doesn't show any signs of wanting to get back with her ever. So is it okay for me to date her since he's the one who did the breaking up? He's my best friend. Curious in the Ville writes that email. I would just say generally no. It's not a good,
10 years. Good move.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. I would say you can. It's a free world, free country, but you'll probably lose the friendship. It's which would you rather do? Date her or be his best friend? Because most likely they both aren't going to work. Also, most likely it's not going to work with her long term. Just because you play the odds, most people you date, you don't marry. Matter of fact, usually only one or maybe two. So I would say it's probably not worth it to put the strain on your best friend, and that if you feel like you have to, I would talk to him. But that's a weird conversation, and that's 10 years. And he's got a lot more history with her. That'd be weird to me too. All of it's weird. I'm going to say I'd probably avoid it. Unless you just have this huge calling, like she could be my soulmate.
Yeah.
And even then.
Then you ask. And then you know he might say, yeah, go for it.
It's still going to be weird. Not. Even if he says go for it. Remember, he's seen it all.
But he up and moved to Minnesota.
I know, but he's seen it all.
I see what you're saying.
You just won't be best friends anymore. You may still be buddies, but if you're with her, regardless of what happened to them, you won't be best friends anymore.
Yeah.
You guys, would we agree with that?
Yeah. Yes.
That's very true. You can't go on vacation together. You can't ever go visit him with her. It's awkward. You got to go bros before.
Okay.
Or if you don't, just know that you won't be as close of bros anymore.
Mm. Or how about this encouraging story?
It's not.
Okay.
Go ahead, though. Hit us with it.
Okay. I know couples that were divorced, then they each remarried, and now they all vacation to each other.
They like switch partners?
Yes.
That's called swinging.
No. No.
And that's rare, Amy.
And yes.
I know it's rare, but it's still a story of hope.
Yeah, but none of this is happening here. So I'm going to say don't do it, buddy. If you do it, you can have a conversation with him. That's going to be tough. But just realize if you do that, it's never going to be the same with you and your boy.
Right.
That's the problem with doing, you know? All right, that's the mailbag. Thank you, guys.
We got your email and we read it on the air. Now it's time to close Bobby's mailbag. Yeah.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Adam Sandler.
Adam, what's happening, man? It's Bobby.
Hiya, Bobby. How are you, buddy?
As a, you know, sports guy and a comedy guy, like the movie being about basketball and your love of basketball, Was the movie an outlet for you to play more basketball selfishly? Like, this would be a good movie to do because you could play more?
Bobby, I had the worst thing happen to an old man. I played a lot when we were there. The first part of the movie we shot, played hoop every day, had a great time. Then the second half of the movie, because we had to separate two halves because of the pandemic, we had to not do contact basketball for a while. And then when it was safe enough, all the guys started showing up playing hoop. I played for maybe a few weeks with the guys. It was incredible. And then my stupid groin popped somewhere. And then I was like limping around. Everybody would be like, why are you walking like that? It was humiliating. So I got nothing.
Those viral videos of you playing pickup ball, and it's always highlights. Yeah. I've never seen a viral video of you sucking. It's always like Sandler dominates, like dropping dimes. Are you that good all the time, or are they just selective on what they put up?
No, I'm that good all the time.
Nice.
No, that's
what I thought.
No, you know I suck many times out there. There are times, though, Bobby, where I'll go, why would they show that and not this? Because I had a killer pass that day. And then I'll sometimes, when I'm out there playing and I notice the cameras come up and the kids are shooting me and stuff, I'm like, I make a nice pass. I look up. I'm like, nobody caught that? That was a good moment, man. We would have loved that one.
At the start of the movie, you know, your character becomes an assistant coach for the 76ers. And I wonder, with your knowledge and fandom of basketball, do you think that you could actually be a low-level assistant coach in the college or NBA level with what you have now?
Nah, I couldn't execute plays or execute. I couldn't memorize all the stuff. I don't even know every rule. I get confused with what's a charge and not a charge sometimes. I don't know enough.
The movie's about your character chasing his dream, and your character says that people in their 50s don't have dreams. But I just asking you as a person, do you still have dreams at this point with all that you've done?
I'm very thankful that I get to do all this stuff. I'm probably still driven like I used to be as a kid. I when I commit to something, I try to go full tilt and be as good as I can. But I don't think I dream about it as much as I dream about my kids having a good life now. You know, they're 13 and 16, so I think about that a lot now. I'm like, oh man, I just please hope they have happiness and they get to dive into whatever they're dying to do, that they get to do it.
Do you, speaking of basketball, do you play 2K at all?
No. I my buddies do, but I really don't do much besides regular hoop.
And how much do you get to play uninjured? Do you try to play every day, or how do you stay active other than basketball?
Before the groin, sometimes 7 days a week, but most of the time, maybe five. It's like my guaranteed sweat or my guarantee when I eat crappy food. I go, oh my God, I better go play hoop, you know, to get rid of that.
Hustle, such a good movie. Again, especially for me, who's a big fan of you, a big fan of sports movies. And when you did Uncut Gems, you know, I felt like you were snubbed a nomination. Do you feel like when you nail a serious movie that you want to do it, yeah, and you don't get the nomination, which I thought you were going to get it, honestly. So I just thought it was going to be there, and when it wasn't, I was disappointed for you because we're best friends and stuff. But do you feel like when you almost nail it that you should go back and do another one because you've gotten so close to it, and it's like you're there, they just need you to do one more real serious movie in a row?
I don't know, man. I don't even know what I think anymore. Like when I did that Gems movie, that Oscar stuff kind of comes up. They start talking about it and blah, blah, blah. Oh, maybe this and that. And then I started going, well, if I got to go and talk about this and run around and meet people who vote and all that stuff, I was like, hey, let me just say I want this thing real bad. I got to tell you, it wasn't on my mind in real life. When I came out to Hollywood as a kid, I just wanted to be Eddie Murphy, man. I didn't think about an Oscar. But when I do stuff like this, I do my best. I work at my ass off, and I do want it to be, I don't want to let people down. I don't want to let people, the directors down, the people who put the money into it all. I try to do as good as I can. And then also, you know, my kids get psyched if I'm good in a movie. It's fun to come home and talk about hard work and scenes that I did that were interesting. I don't know, man. The Oscar thing, that probably makes people nuts. I just gonna try to do good.
You mentioned Eddie Murphy, and I've heard people say that the first time they met you that they were so intimidated by
how funny you are, how funny they've seen you be, maybe in movies, television, et cetera, or even on stage, which, by the way, your last special was so freaking good. Who was it for you that you saw once you started to make it New York or LA that was so funny you almost were intimidated because you're like, I'm not that.
Wow. There's a bunch of those in my early days where I would go, oh my God, how did he do that? How did she do that? Kevin Meaney, there was a comedian, Kevin Meaney, when he went on stage, he would destroy so hard that it was just humiliating. You didn't know how to go after him. You know, Rodney Dangerfield, when I was young, that was my guy that made me get into this, and Eddie. But there's been a lot of comedians over the years that I see that I just go, well, I don't want to go on after that. That's too good.
When you finish a movie like Hustle, do you hate being done with it? Is it such a joy? Or are you like, that was awesome, I'm ready to finish it so we can get it out there? Which one is it?
You know, you don't, it's a weird thing. When you have it and it's still your secret, there's some sort of confidence you got, like, yeah, man, that's going to come out in a month or 2 months or in 6 months. You kind of have it in your pocket. It feels great. And then the closer you get to it coming out, you go, oh no, man, it's about to go out, and then it's not mine anymore. And it's like, once a movie's released, I don't know about everybody else, but I'm like a little bit sick where I'm just like, all right, I better get going again, figure something out, get move on to the next one. And it kind of goes away in your brain a bit. I like hearing about it on the street. If somebody talks to me about a movie from the past, I like hearing about what they like and if they connected or not. But once a movie comes out like Hustle, I'll be like, all right, man, let's see what's next. We got to get to work.
All right, last one for you. So when you work with athletes that are so tall yet still are able to move like deer, like a 7-footer like Dirk, they can still be like a way better athlete than I could ever be. But he's also, I mean, that it's almost like a science experiment that shouldn't work the way it does. Does it ever just get normal to you and you just like, yeah, that's just how it is. They're just 7-foot and awesome.
I mean, dude, I'm not, Wancho is insane. All the guys that were in the movie, when they would just move, it's a whole other level of movement. You know that. But I'll tell you what, Boban,
yeah,
just shooting around. Boban, he's 7. What is he? I don't know. 7-something.
Like 7'4" or something like that?
Something like that, right? His hands are so gigantic. His body's built. He's massive. But he's like moves smooth. When he takes a shot, it's got like the softest touch. It's a whole other thing. Like you said, I don't know how they do it.
All right. I hope everybody watches Hustle. It's so good. Watch it on Netflix. Also going to be in select theaters. Look for it. Adam, just a big fan. Just appreciate you and thanks for the time. And I would wish you success, but you don't need it. So you can wish me success. Would you wish me success at the end of this? I've never done this before, so let me have it.
Bobby, you got a lot of success coming. You're very cool. Very nice to me. Thank you for that. And you're smooth as hell, man. You got a lot of good stuff coming.
There we have it. We heard it right there. Adam, thanks, buddy.
All right. Later, guys.
Bobby Bones Show. The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number 2's 30 Second Skinny.
The iHeartRadio Music Festival lineup was announced. Luke Combs, Maren Morris, and Morgan Wallen will be performing for the country genre. Check out all the details for the festival at BobbyBones.com. Trace Adkins' country music-themed TV show has set a premiere date after delays from the pandemic. The show will premiere on Fox on Sunday, September 11th. Dierks Bentley believes country music fans are different than any other genre.
The difference between country fans and maybe other genres is it's not just a visual thing. It's, you know, it's touching, it's hugging, it's high-fiving, it's shaking hands. It's a very physical interaction between us and our fans.
I'm Morgan. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
About a month ago, Aaron was on vacation in Alabama. He's snorkeling off the coast and he looks down and there's some teeth smiling at him. And he's like, what in the world? Someone had dropped their dentures in the water. And he was like, that's funny. So he went down and got him, and his wife and him decided to do a denture adventure. They started snapping photos of the dentures on vacation. And then he finally posted it on Facebook. He's like, hey, I found these dentures off the coast of Alabama. And some guy in Wisconsin was like, hey, those are my teeth, man. I was on vacation. I lost them. And
do you still take them back and put them in?
Yes, because they're $2,000 to replace.
Wow.
So the guy got his dentures back, and the dentures got a good vacation out of it.
It's the name of my band in high school, Denture Adventure.
That's hilarious.
We toured all over Central Arkansas. We were so good nonstop. Wow, that's weird to have those teeth, and somebody else had them for a long time.
Yeah.
But I guess you just clean them up.
Yeah, like dropping your cell phone on the toilet. You got to. You just clean it up and go on with life. All right, good one. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Over to Breanne in Ohio. Hey, Breanne, how's it going?
Casey Musgrave hasn't been on the show yet, and she's on both of our Mount Rushmores, and I was just wanting to know about that.
Yeah, I would love to have Casey on. I know we've tried a couple of times, and I think at one point she was coming on, but I was out of town. And then one point she wasn't coming on and I was here. See, we just haven't been able to do it because when she was doing her last press, I wasn't in the studio or something like that, but I love her. I'm a massive Casey fan. And you know, when it comes to my favorite contemporary country artists, you go, here's my Mount Rushmore, Casey contemporary. Ooh, it's just one head. Yeah. I think it's just one head. Stapleton. Chris Stapleton would be another contemporary country artist that I'd put on there.
This would be a lot of heads, but Old Dominion?
They'd just be represented by one head. Okay. So Matt Ramsey.
Okay.
Because they put out, yeah. So if I had to put another contemporary artist, that's tough. Why? Who do you think for me?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot. Brett. Still that.
I mean, Brett's a good one.
Eldridge.
Brett. Maron.
But who would I listen to?
Jerks.
Like if I'm picking their music.
What about Luke just because you like Luke?
No, but I can't do that because I'm going to take
Luke Combs.
I'm just going to go with
Brett.
Brett.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's my contemporary Mount Rushmore. Too. Yeah.
Yeah.
all right. Let's do the 10 richest country singers in the world and their net worth. You guys want to do that?
Uh-huh.
All right. Number 10. Which, by the way, they're all very, very rich. But at number 10 is Alan Jackson. He's worth over $160 million. Made a bunch of money last year, plus $54 million.
So everybody we're talking about after this is over $160 million?
Yeah, number 9 and number 8 are tricky because it's combined. Over 165, but it's Faith and Tim. Combined, they're worth 170, this says.
Huh.
So, but they both have that net worth because it's their husband and wife.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't like that?
I don't like that, no, because they're individual artists.
Yeah, you feel like...
That's not fair to Alan and his wife.
Okay. Well, number 7, Kenny Chesney at $200 million.
Wow, that's crazy.
He makes about $42 million per year. And number 6, Kenny Rogers. I guess his estate is worth $250 million. Number 5, George Strait, worth $300 million.
Woo!
I wonder if you have that much money. If money even matters. Like. Does money even matter?
I don't know.
Do you ever think about it? Is there any... No, because I want to be honest.
You don't think?
No way they think about money.
Do prices... Does it matter? Do they go, how much is that?
No, they just say buy it.
I
don't know.
Do they make all their money by making smart business decisions, so therefore they maintain that heads... I don't know.
Yeah. I bet you can have this private conversation with someone.
I don't want to have it private. I want to have it on the air.
But what if it's private and then you told everyone on the air?
I can't do that. I would never do that.
You can't go off the record and then bring it on the record.
Yeah, Eddie, you know that. Journalist 101.
I know.
Number 4, Dolly Parton, $350 million. She's got to be worth more than that. Number 3, Toby Keith, $365 million.
All in merch.
I make that at night in merch.
I feel like he definitely doesn't think about money.
But he made a bunch of money from Taylor Swift because he was one of the big investors in that the label, which had Taylor. There you go. Garth Brooks at number 2.
Number two?
Yeah, almost half $1 billion. I still think he's worth more than that.
See, why can't he be Garth and Trisha? They would dominate.
That's a great point.
That's the Faith in Tim.
That is a great point. And number 1, any guesses? Most rich.
I mean, is Taylor considered?
That's what I would guess. Is Taylor
in the genre? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I go Johnny Cash.
What's weird is that Kenny Rogers one is the only dead one. I'm surprised they would take. So no, it's an alive person. So no estate.
So it's someone alive at Shania.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
That's it.
Man,
she's
like worth more than Garth, which is
crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Around the same amount, but they say, I think Garth's worth more than they're giving him credit for here. Let's just say Garth was logged into his checking account the other day and I happened to be behind him.
At the ATM?
And I just happened to see, he left his receipt at the ATM.
He clicked
and
check balance?
I looked at it. He left that paper receipt on top of the thing and I kept it for myself.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint.
Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Okay, if you're in Target Circle, then you already know what I'm talking about, and if you're not, you don't. However, this is for everybody, because the all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. And again, if you're already a member, I'm going to break some news to you. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. That means, boom, you're automatically going. Now, there's Target Circle 360, so unlimited same-day delivery. Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door, well, or to someone else's door too. And right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Now, if you've already been using Target Circle, you know how amazing this is. So you can upgrade to Target Circle 360, or you get an automatic upgrade whenever it's like, you know, now it's automatically applied, which is super cool. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in Hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food. Everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month, and when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in Hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Morgan was born in the 90s, so we're having her review things that she hasn't seen because it was right before she started really watching movies or TV shows. She has reviewed Seinfeld and gave it a 2.5 out of 5. Back to the Future got a 4 out of 5. The Karate Kid, a 4.5 out of 5. Austin Powers, 1.
Dumb.
1 groovy baby out of 5.
Ridiculous.
So here we are, Morgan. We're going to review The Goonies.
Yes.
We had you watch that movie. What'd you think?
I'm going to be honest. The writing was pretty rough to watch now. Like, it's pretty cheesy. It's a very cheesy and, like, just, I don't know. There's not a lot of, like, plot and stuff in it. So I was
pretty
bored.
What do you mean?
It's a great plot.
What do you mean a plot?
I don't know. Well, and this is hard too because I just saw the new movie Uncharted and it's literally the same story.
So tell me in your mind what you think The Goonies is about.
It's about this group of kids who, you know, they live in a really unfortunate area and they go on adventures to spend their time. And so they decided to go out and hunt for treasure after they found something in their dad's attic. And then they get chased by these crazy people and they end up finding the treasure and, you know, all is good in the end.
What about Sloth?
Oh, yeah, I know Sloth. He was part of the whole shebang that happened.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you like it. I'm going to be honest. I've heard better lead-ins than this.
Yeah.
Goonies, Morgan. What do you give it?
Yeah, it was cheesy, and I wouldn't watch it again. So for that reason, I'm giving it 2 out of 5 truffle shuffles.
2 out of 5.
It's a kid's movie.
Yeah, I mean, my kids watched it in the last year or so,
my
and
kids
they loved
too.
It.
They loved it.
Yeah.
From 1985, The Goonies.
And my kids are hard to impress.
At 1 hour, 51 minutes. Guys, don't hate her for opinion. We had her watched it.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
And I do think comparable, like I watching Uncharted and I'm like, oh, this is a great movie with all the effects and all the new technology.
I don't know what that is, Uncharted.
It's with Tom Holland. It's like big blockbuster movie.
It's based on a video game.
He's your Goonie?
I'm telling you, it's literally the same storyline. So seeing that and then seeing like the old school one, I was like, well, I just have Uncharted now. I could go without seeing The Goonies.
So you give that 2 out of 5. Okay, yeah. Shawshank Redemption got a 5 out of 5 from her.
Of course.
And Saved by the Bell got 3 out of 5 leg warmers. Okay. Well, The Goonies does not rate well.
Yeah. I did not like that review.
Everybody got mad at her.
Yeah.
It's her opinion. Mad at her. Her next assignment is Beavis and Butthead from 1993.
Oh, God. She hated The Goonies? Okay.
This is not going to be good. I just feel it.
It's on Paramount Plus. Season 1 has 9 episodes. They're only 27 minutes each, so we'll have you watch 5.
Okay. 5 episodes. Of season 1, there's no like tricky situation with Beavis and Butthead, right?
No. Here's a voicemail from Becca in Kentucky.
I just want to have a complaint / compliment for a second. Amy is way too good at doing her commercials because her commercials sound so similar to her segments that she does. So if she can sound a little bit more fake on those commercials, that'd be great. And that way I don't accidentally skip through with the segment. Thank you.
That's funny. Got him. That's the goal. Got him.
That's good.
Yeah. Good job, Amy. If you could do your commercials like this, though, well, what do you say, Amy, for Ideal Image? Can you try to do a DJ voice? Give us one.
Hey, everybody. Did you just do an alien? You just did, everybody. It's Ideal Image.
Well, everybody coming at you.
Hey, coming at you in the ones and twos.
Okay, a little bit.
Is that better? Yeah. I don't know. I feel awkward.
Ones and twos.
That's like a DJ. Like 1950s
okay, coming
record
up at
DJ.
The top of the hour. We're going to... Like a song.
I don't know if that would work.
I don't know. I don't have it.
Yeah, just keep doing a good job.
I just have my voice.
From Seattle, 98.9 The Bull. Here's Lisa.
I have a trivia question for you. So Scotty McCreery's new song, Damn Straight, references 7 different George Strait songs. You guys know what those are? Anyway, love you guys.
I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
All of them?
I mean, I can't rattle the 7 off, but every time he mentions it, I'm like, oh, it's a good song.
Don't know that I've heard it all the way through.
Oh, you have? Oh, that song is a jam.
Yeah, it's good. I know the chorus.
Yeah.
Don't blink.
No. Damn straight.
Oh.
Close.
Just kidding.
Okay, so you can name them?
Yes.
Just trust us,
Lisa. When the song is playing, I can name it.
Yeah, I'm sure I could too. I always hear just the beginnings of songs going into it if I play it, and the end of song coming out of it, because always if there's a song and I'm trying to figure out the next segment with Mike, we're like, what do we do next? He's like, I don't know. We're on in 3 seconds. Oh, crap. Then we turn the mics on and away we go. But I could probably figure it out. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So you might be doing all the right things. You get yourself ready for bed, washing your face, drinking a little tea, putting on your cozy PJs. But why are you shaping your head?
I don't do any of that.
Oh.
Like none of them.
I'm like, am I saying something wrong?
No, I don't do any of that.
Okay, but when you lay down, you're not as relaxed as you thought and your mind starts racing. Well, that's when you sit up and you grab a notepad and a pen by your bed and you do what they're calling a brain dump. And it helps you just get out all your random thoughts and worries before you lay your head on the pillow. And then this will declutter your thoughts and it brings over a sense of calm. And then it'll leave that stress making, you know, sleep easier.
You pronounced get on Twitter wrong.
I didn't say I'd get on Twitter.
Oh, you said get a notepad and pen out. I say get on Twitter.
We
say it differently.
That's actually the worst thing you could
do. Oh.
Because you're exposing your eyes to the light from the phone.
That's what Kaylin says. She goes, you're turning on all this blue light. I'm like, it ain't blue, it's white. Look, I'm not in night mode yet.
Yeah, I'm going to start living by firelight.
Yeah, okay, Abe
Lincoln.
When the
sun goes down.
You're not.
That's how you're going to get the best sleep.
You're going to do it for like two nights and be like, this stinks. Let me get on Hulu.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, it's a brain dump.
Okay,
Try
so that's what you do. Take a, I don't like the word dump either. Photo dump, brain
what
dump.
What do you want to call it?
I don't know.
Just to get out all your thoughts on paper real quick before you go to bed?
Yeah.
Dump.
Yeah.
Okay. So I actually was trying to fix something the other day and I smacked the remote. I couldn't get it to work. So I smack, and then voila, it started working. And believe it or not, there is actually a science behind why sometimes the best way to fix your electronics is smacking them. It's called percussive maintenance, which is where you give a little tap to a product with batteries or older parts and voila, they start working again.
Same strategy with kids?
A little tap-tap?
Just a little tap-tap.
I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
It depends on your kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. No tap-tap in my house.
Go ahead.
But a percussive maintenance is definitely a temporary fix. And when you are at that stage of fixing something, it means the next step is likely taking it to a professional.
My percussive maintenance, I will hit myself in the face sometimes if I'm not feeling it.
Oh.
I'll be like, come on. Let's go, baby. Focus up.
Does that work for you?
Sometimes, but it's like a splash of water, slap on the face. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start calling it that, though. Holy guys, I got to do a little percussive maintenance. So that way they won't think I'm crazy.
Maybe I need to try some percussive maintenance.
Can we do it? Let me try it on you?
Percussive maintenance.
All right, what else you got?
Well, I have what made Carrie Underwood say this.
Oh, you scared me, bud.
I'm going to imagine that's a kid. I'm going to imagine it's her kid, and her kid is hiding in the bathtub when she's sitting on the toilet. And he goes, boo!
Good guess.
And she's recording that for some reason.
On the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's a clip from her video.
Oh, you scared me, bud. Look how long this sucker is. Whoa. I'm still shaking. Crap. Whew. Well, nice to meet you. Catch a mouse or two, okay? I'm going to leave you alone now, and I fully expect you to go away. I'll see you again. Bye-bye.
It's a snake.
It's a snake
you
in her gardening
shed. You guys have the same
shed.
Issue.
Yes. I have a snake, and I am not like, oh, buddy, you scared me.
I'm don't
like,
kill it. I'm telling you, it's
I'm not
there.
Gonna kill it. I'm not going to kill it, but I'm like, ugh, get out of my yard, and I
no,
run
you
inside.
Want it there. It's helping you.
What is it helping me with?
Mice?
Yeah,
things
they
are
eat
eating
mice.
Your. Yeah. Bugs?
I haven't seen any mice.
Intruders? Who knows?
Exactly. It's eating them.
Yeah, that's right. Have you seen any intruders or mice?
Have you?
Okay, so I'm just supposed to welcome the snake.
Just let
it's
it live.
Disgusting.
Okay, they probably don't like you either.
Okay.
All right, probably telling its friends. She's disgusting. That's my impression of a snake.
Yeah.
All right, is that it?
Mm-hmm. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
Come on. It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
So there's a girl named Rania who is in high school in West Virginia, but her parents came over from very small villages in Uganda. So they tell her, when we were kids, we didn't have any books. So what she's doing, she's calling it book dessert. She looks around her community, she sees people who need books, and then she starts to raise all these books, all this money. Well, now she has already distributed more than 6,000 books to different Head Start programs in West Virginia. She says learning her grandparents' story has helped her understand who she is and why she wants to give it back. So not only has she done 6,000 in West Virginia so far, she is expanding to help kids in New York, Virginia, and California one donated book at a time. So I thought that was pretty cool. And maybe she'll get Stanley the dog's first day at school.
Oh,
coming
yeah.
out Thursday, June 14th. Bookstores everywhere.
That's right.
All right, thank you. That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
And now, Amy's Morning Corny.
The Morning Corny.
Why did the dolphin cross the beach?
Why did the dolphin cross the beach?
To get to the other tide.
Okay.
Oh, tide. The other tide.
That was the Morning Corny.
I don't even know the root of that chicken joke, by the way. Why did the chicken cross the street?
Get whatever. To the other side?
Cross yeah. the road to get to it the other side.
Yeah, how is that even funny?
I don't know. So, but she did a joke based off of that joke that I'm like, I don't even know what the root joke is. Coming up in just a little bit, Adam Sandler will be on the show. I have my top three Adam Sandler movies of all time. At number three, one of his serious movies, which I thought was really good. It's called Funny People. Have you guys seen it where he's
no.
dying? And
I don't think so.
He's mentoring other comics as he's dying.
Uh-uh.
Really good.
Wow. Okay.
Do you like that one, Mike?
is really good. He's quite the good, serious actor. Well, you know, he did Uncut Gems.
Yes. Saw that one. That was good.
Yeah. Meaning, it wasn't weird that he was doing a serious movie. But Funny People, really good. Number two, Wedding Singer, which is super funny. Drew Barrymore's in it, and he's in a band, and they play songs. And I'm going to spoil it, but it ends good, and there's a lot of love, and there's fun music. And here's a clip of Adam Sandler singing my favorite song from any Adam Sandler movie. Here you go.
I want to make you smile whenever you're sad. Carry you around when your arthritis is bad. All I want to do is grow old with you.
That's awesome. And number one is Happy Gilmore. Here you go. Here's him fighting Bob Barker.
There is no way that you could have been as bad at hockey as you are at golf.
All right, let's go.
Oh! You like that, old man? You want a piece of me? I don't want a piece of you. I want the whole thing.
Oh! Then Bob Barker whoops his butt. It's funny. So Happy Gilmore is my number one. Honorable mention, Billy Madison. But Adam Sandler will be on in the next 15 minutes or so, which I'm super pumped about. So you guys hang out for that. And in the next segment, we'll do the mailbag. Can you date your best friend's ex? That's the question they're asking. Okay, Eddie, what happened with your kid?
Oh, this was tough. So my 7-year-old, he's joining a new basketball team. And he shows up. And he's little for his age. So he shows up. And two boys in his team are laughing at him, just saying, like, look at this guy. He's so short. He's not going to make any of the baskets. And my son hears him, and I'm one of the – I mean, I guess all the dads chip in, so we're all kind of coaches. So if we're at practice, we're all helping out. And I'm right there hearing them laugh every single time my son takes a shot. So I get a little fired up over it.
So they're saying he's too small.
Yes.
Are they trying to block his shots?
No, we're doing layup drills. And every time he goes up for the layup, they're like, watch this. The little guy's going to try to make a layup. He's not even going to get close to the basket. But, hey, my son's draining every single one. And they say it about 5 times. And finally, the 5th time, I'm like, uh-uh, that's it. I'm about to say something. So I pull them both aside. I say, hey, you too. There's no laughing at your teammates. I don't care who your teammate is. You guys have each other's back. I hear you guys laughing at his size. But I guarantee you he'll school both of you guys.
Oh, then that's probably not the way to do
it.
That part. You don't have to go that hard right
there.
Well,
now you're created talking bad about.
Yeah, well, now you're like making him want to compete against your son. Like, I guarantee he'll take both of you down.
But I think that was the emotion talking.
Yeah.
I didn't really mean to say that, but that just slipped out. But I was really just trying to say, like, hey, no laughing at your teammate. Back him up.
I like that part.
Yeah,
I think
you
went over.
I guess deep inside, I know how good my son is. Like, he's really good. And it's happened every single season where the opposing team sees him and they're like, look at this little point guard. And he just dominates because he's fast. He does make every shot and he's really, really good. So part of me was like, oh, you fools are going to take your laughing back because he's going to school you.
How's he affected when he hears that?
Oh, dude, it hurt him a little bit because I could see him listening. And every single time he would miss a layup, he would look at the reaction. And
but
of course,
you just said he makes every shot.
Well, he doesn't make every single one.
Okay, go ahead.
But every time he did miss one, he would look back to see their reaction. And of course, they were laughing again.
Okay, so what would you do? That's a question. You guys can call us too. How would you deal with this? 877-77-BOBBY. We will grab your calls. We'll talk about it right after this song. My quick advice as a young, once small kid that had the same thing happen to me. I had to learn how to let it drive me, right? I didn't have anybody giving me a massage, going, hey, bubba, it'll be okay. And it will be okay, and you can do that. I just didn't have that. And so I let that crap drive me to the point probably I'm extra neurotic at this point in my life.
Yeah.
But I think that that's good. I think adversity is awesome. I think the fact that I don't like the bullying, I don't like that they're saying that, and you can actually put a stop to it. But I think let's see how he reacts. What does he think? Is he reacting to it? Does it drive him to want to work harder? Or is he just kind of like, I don't want to play at all?
I think a little bit of both. I can see it in him where at first he's just kind of like, oh, I don't like that they're laughing at me. But yeah, he does try extra hard to make that layup when it is his turn, just so you can shut him up a little bit.
And I think that's the play, mm-hmm. is that you try to build that to, okay, people are always going to say this about you. It's how you react. It's how you show up.
Ooh, that's good.
Instead of, oh, it's okay, buddy. It's, you know what? This is a part of it. I don't like it either. But it's going to happen to you the rest of your life in some way or another. And it's not, you know, if you get knocked down or if you get made fun of. It's when you get knocked down or when you get made fun of. How do you react to that?
Mm.
I think that's the lesson. But what do I know? I don't have kids.
No, but you were, like you said,
still am.
You were that
look
person.
At me, I'm still that guy.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go, people are like, look at him.
he ain't going to make that shot. And I'm like, I'm not playing basketball. I'm trying to get a Starbucks. Let's go over and talk to Brittany in Texas. Hey, Brittany, you heard Eddie's story. What do you think about that?
So I have a son, and he's getting bullied right now, but he's only 2.5, so it's a little bit different. But I would have called the kids out in front of everybody and embarrassed them. And
that is a strategy.
And see how cool they are after that.
If you would have done that, Eddie, would your son have been like, oh, don't do that? Like, would that have embarrassed him if you're embarrassing the other kids?
I don't know, but after I did what I did, he did back home say, man, Dad stuck up for me, so that was kind of cool. So I don't know. If you would have done it publicly, it would have been maybe cooler to him, but he did like that I said something.
I would have been mortified because I got the crap beat out of me. I was picked on a lot. And if somebody would have come and yelled at the people picking on me in front of everybody else, I'd have been like, whoa. I'm not saying what you're doing is not, I'm just talking about me. I would never have wanted that because they'd have pounded me more. Mm. They'd have been meaner to me just later, saying stuff right about me.
Yeah.
So, but that's only me.
And isn't that, if we react that way as a parent, isn't that more like selfishly, like we're acting out in a way? And that's, I mean, I guess if it works for her, great. But I couldn't imagine me yelling at like little kids publicly like that.
Oh, I can imagine it. All right, Mike. And Mike in Macon, Georgia, you're on the phone. Hey, Mike, you heard Eddie's story. What'd you think there, buddy?
I think the conversation you had was with your son, not the other kids, because you're not on their level. You shouldn't be arguing with them, I don't think. I think if he is, his son is short. Well, chances are he may be short his whole life. He needs to learn how to handle that. And people are always going to be coming at you, and people are always going to be trying to put you down if you do well, especially. And I think the reaction that you need to have is to let your son be a learning experience for him. So this is going to be... That's why you play sports. Probably not to be a professional basketball player in this case, but to learn how to deal with other people and how to handle controversy.
Mm. I mean,
let the son work it out.
I agree with you completely on that one. Like, sports to me was all about adversity, learning how to be on a team, having other folks back and trusting them to have yours. You know, that was a big part, playing baseball and football my whole life. I mean, I was close to the NFL, but I didn't quite make it. But what I do have from it
so close
is having a lot of things happen and having to learn how to adjust and fight back and push when things aren't comfortable. And, you know, I think a little bit of adversity for your son's good because we all get it all the time. You know, you don't want to I know you want to shield them from it all the time.
Sure. I mean, it's hard to see that going on and then say, ooh, I'm not going to do anything about it. I mean, he's right. Conversation with my son, I think, is the way to do it. But, man, I just got full of emotions there when it's like, this is the fifth time these boys are laughing at my son. I got to say something. I'm right next to him.
He will get their respect if he schools them on the court, though. I'm just telling you. That's the great equalizer of sports. Like, if you can be good at a sport and get a bully out there and it's over. It's over. So, I just have him keep working. Susan in Virginia, you're on the Bobby Bone Show. Susan, thanks for calling. What do you want to say?
Hi, everybody.
Hey.
Yeah, I am a seventh grade teacher and big sports bomb. I can tell you with my class, I will stop what I'm doing and say, hey, we're a team here. We don't treat the team members like this. We're here to win as a team. We're only, you know, and work it like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I like
every
that.
Time they do it, stop what you're doing.
Well, we appreciate that, Susan. Hope you have an awesome day. Thank you for calling the show.
Bye, Bobby.
All right, see you later. Okay, there you have it, Eddie. You got some expert advice from me and then some listeners called.
I'll
but
take
the teacher,
it.
The seventh grade teacher basically said what you did.
I agree. So that's
look
pretty cool.
You.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
You know, life is, again, about not if adversity is going to happen. When it happens, how do you react to it? And sometimes it takes a few things not going your way to figure out how to make it go your way the next time. Look at it like that. This is a learning lesson for him. He's probably going to get picked on for a long time.
That's right.
He can equalize it. There are two ways to equalize it. One, you can be better than them at sports right now. Or two, you can just keep studying, keep your head in the books, and then be their boss later on in life. That one's that's a slow play.
that's the
one I did. That was the extreme slow play. But it'll be good.
Yeah. Okay. But you're our boss, but we didn't bully you.
You would have, though. Trust
yeah,
me. I see all of you.
I don't know.
I see all of you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Okay, if you're in Target Circle, then you already know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, you don't. However, this is for everybody because the all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. And again, if you're already a member, I'm going to break some news to you. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. That means, boom, you're automatically going. Now, there's Target Circle 360, so unlimited same-day delivery. Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door, well, or to someone else's door, too. And right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first-year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Now, if you've already been using Target Circle, you know how amazing this is. So you can upgrade to Target Circle 360, or you get an automatic upgrade whenever it's like, you know, now it's automatically applied, which is super cool. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in Hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food. Everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month, and when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in Hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Bachrach as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. All right, let's go over and check in with your big stories.
Bobby's big stories.
You know, there are some viruses that I would mess with. I don't care. There's some viruses I don't want to mess with because I do care. This monkeypox ain't messing with it. You've seen the people that get monkeypox?
I haven't looked.
Don't. You should look. Don't. You should look.
Google image.
Yeah, Google image.
No.
Don't look. You should look. The CDC is raising the monkeypox alert level. And they're like, hey, more people are getting this, so heads up. They have raised the alert level for the disease to level 2 on Monday. Look at this. And you will go,
Do you want to see it?
And then you will pray you don't get monkeypox. I don't like either one of those words in any disease. I don't like a monkey in a disease. I don't like a pox in a disease. Two words in a disease I don't want. They recommend that Americans avoid contact with sick people and sick animals, especially those with skin lesions, because that's what monkeypox is. It's brutal. Here is an infectious disease expert, Dr. Peter Chin Hong, explaining how monkeypox can be spread.
We know that you can get it from skin-to-skin contact, particularly if there's an open sore, but you can also get it from the respiratory route.
What? Respiratory?
Harder to get than like COVID.
Okay.
Mostly skin-to-skin, but it is brutal looking. I don't want it. I don't like it. I don't want to be around anybody that's sick again.
If we're at level 2, how many levels are there?
I think only 3 or 4.
Oh,
we're halfway there?
Mm-hmm. Dang.
Yeah, level 3 is high alert.
Okay.
I was last night, I was with John Party. We were at the Grand Ole Opry, and I was doing the thing with him, and I could hear you singing. He's like, I might have a little dirt on my boots. Like, a little bit of his voice, and he came over, and I was like, oh, I was already scared. Felt he was sick. I thought he had monkeypox, I'll be honest with you.
Oh. Why?
We spent some time together talking. Well, it was just in my heart. My instinct was John Party had monkeypox.
Just because his voice was raspy?
Yeah, just a little bit. And I said, what happened to your voice? Because I was talking too much in a loud room. And I was like, that's the first thing I'd say if I had monkeypox.
You didn't ask him if he had any lesions?
I didn't. I said, show him. Show me. So watch out for the monkeypox.
Oh, no.
Although it just sounds funny. It's just a funny word, too. Mm-hmm. Monkeypox sounds like it's a comedy skit.
I'm sure chickenpox sounded funny, too, when that.
But monkey's funnier than chicken.
That's true.
When it comes to, like, playful animals that you want to have a pet. It's not a chicken you want to hang out with. It's a monkey.
Yeah.
The Chrisleys were convicted on tax evasion charges.
I gasped
this
when I saw
crazy.
That.
This is crazy.
Hey, former co-host Todd Chrisley.
That's right.
Yeah, he sat here.
He
with
sat
us.
He did the show with us. I mean, I know Todd a little bit. I don't really, you know, we don't talk about finances.
Huh. Oh, my hang out. Goodness.
Okay, go ahead, Lunchbox.
This is, it's the scorned ex-lover. So he was having an affair with.
Allegedly?
The guy. Okay. I don't understand allegedly.
I don't even.
Understand allegedly?
What does that mean?
No. This guy got on the stand and said. Like,
let's just say allegedly anyway. Okay. That's how I like to
allegedly.
Do it.
I like allegedly.
I'm allegedly here today.
So yeah. He was dating this guy.
Todd was.
Yes, Todd was. And they were in a relationship. And then they broke up. And he started working for Todd. And like he was like, got him to commit fraud for him. He's like, my feelings for Todd made me do this. And then Todd got rid of him. He's like, scorned ex-lover. He's like, you know what?
Allegedly.
Alleged.
No. Oh, ex-lover, allegedly. So he said since he got rid of him, he started emailing anonymously to the authorities about the fraud, and they are facing 30 years in prison.
Oh, my gosh. It is
the husband and wife both facing 30 years in prison. This is so crazy.
Let me read some of the news story. I know Lunch is saying all that, but let me just make sure.
The Chrisley mom even admitted she was signing tax documents. She didn't even know what they were. She was signing financial documents.
And she allegedly admitted it.
Well, but she didn't know what they were, so she didn't know she was participating?
Todd and Julie Chrisley have been found guilty of bank fraud and tax evasion. Their accountant, Peter Tarantino, was also found guilty on related charges, including aiding and abetting the filing of false tax returns. The reality stars were indicted in 2019 of defrauding banks by obtaining millions in loans. In addition, the U.S. Attorney's Office claimed they cheated the government by actively evading federal income taxes. They're facing up to 30 years behind bars, but they're planning to appeal the verdict. From TMZ.
So the accountant is the allegedly...
But
if you plan to appeal, does that mean you're like, I'm innocent?
Yeah, well, it means that you want to give it another shot. Hopefully get some time taken off or...
That story sounded very different from the one Lunchbox told.
Well, you didn't read the whole story. I'm telling you.
I read that leading up to this.
Yes.
That whole story.
It is so...
I allegedly read it.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. The alleged scorned ex-lover... Mm-hmm. Came back with a vengeance and he got, what do you call it, where he can say everything and he can't get charged.
Immunity?
Yes. So that way he could testify and say everything, lay it out there, and he won't face any charges. He created fake email accounts to email the tips and paperwork to the authorities.
Doesn't seem real.
What? Why not?
I don't know, because he sat in here with us. I don't feel like he'd evade taxes.
Maybe he wasn't doing it while he was with us.
Ooh.
but all the other times he was, they're just not here.
And then surely not her, the mom. She seems so...
I don't know her.
Like the grandma was doing it. All, like she was just signing papers that she didn't even know what they were.
Oh.
Hey, well, she's a meemaw, you know?
Yeah. That can happen.
All right. Next in the news. A shocking stat. Women over 40 are having more babies than teens. For the first time in over 80 years, dating back to World War II, women over the age of 40 are having more babies than teenagers. The teen birth rate has drastically declined thanks to
16 and
school
pregnant.
Programs, increased awareness from TV and social media, and education on contraceptive. All of this combined has equaled way less teen pregnancies, which is awesome. The advances in modern technology and medicine have also allowed women to wait 10, 15 years to start the childbirth process. And so more women are waiting, having them later once they feel like they're more established and can do that. So I like that teens aren't having as many babies. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a teen mom. My mom could get pregnant when she was 15.
TV.
Yeah.
Really?
She got pregnant when she was 15. Dang.
And it was rough, right?
She could have been a star.
She could have been.
Dang. My life would have been totally different. All right, that's from Business Insider. America's running out of fast food workers. According to the restaurant industry insiders, fast food places are having trouble finding workers. Most have been able to earn a similar paycheck by claiming unemployment over the past couple years. Because Americans keep getting better educated, it also means fewer people are willing to take entry-level jobs that don't start out with vacation time and health benefits. My sister manages a restaurant. She's had trouble keeping workers. She's like, man, why would they come and work all day if they can just say this and not work at all and get the same amount of money, you know? She wasn't saying doing that. She was like, I understand the reasoning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that situation. Do this every morning if you want to be successful. And that is...
count your money.
Avoid your email. Avoid your email the minute you wake up. It puts you in a negative funk because most emails are from work. If you have work that emails you, it drains your energy. The absolute best thing you can do is work out. I do the opposite. I go right to the emails and avoid any sort of exercise at all in the morning. It's great for your metabolism and energy. Career experts said after reading about many successful leaders, they all had one habit. They worked out first thing in the morning. That's from Ivy Exec. 8 in 10 people think they grill better than most other people. So who in this room thinks that you're better than the average griller?
I.
Eddie?
For sure.
I'm terrible. I'm the worst. I mean, I'm 1% of
bad. It's good that you can acknowledge that.
Yeah. Okay, I had to turn the grill on. What do I do here? Kick it. Pray. I don't know what to do. Lunchbox, you a better griller than average?
I can say I can grill, but I don't think I'm one of the best. I'm not the top. When I taste Eddie's food, I'm just like, that is amazing.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I've never grilled before.
Wow, look at us.
We have a lot of like...
Go ahead.
Say it, Amy. We have a lot of what?
Go ahead, Amy.
Say it, Amy. No, finish your sentence.
Amy, what are you saying?
I dare you.
Like grilling is manly.
Okay, and we are...
We only have one man right now.
No, I grill. I just said I can be honest and say, you know what? That's not my best attribute,
being
manly.
Well, thank you for getting vulnerable, Lunchbox.
I'd rather stir fry.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
I'd rather use the air fryer.
I like baking tofu.
Let's see. A 4-year-old was missing for 2 days in Montana. He was found alive.
Oh, my gosh.
After surviving near freezing temperatures. A missing, hungry, thirsty, and cold little boy was found safe after 2 days on his own. The parents had to be just a mess.
Oh, mess.
Devastated.
I can't even imagine.
Riker Webb, 4, was reported missing Friday afternoon south of Troy, Montana. He was last seen playing with a family dog in his yard on the east side of Bull Lake. And I'm looking at him. He kind of looks like a little version of Opie Taylor.
Okay.
Cute kid. Obviously, got a little bloody nose. This is him in the back of an ambulance, but he's also like, thank God somebody is here. Ooh, a jacket. He's looking warm here. Temperatures fell into the high 30s, low 40s. They found him 2 days later in what they say, relatively good shape, considering he was in good spirits. And there's no part of the story that says exactly how he got where he got. Maybe he just wandered off and got lost and couldn't find his way back. I'm assuming that's it, if there's no other part of this.
I mean, it happens.
That is from Daily Mail. And, I mean, that's a good one. I like that. I like ending with that. Mm-hmm. That is, I was going to say that's what it's all about, but that ain't telling me something good. All right, those are your big stories. Thank you.
Those were Bobby's Big Stories.
The pet psychic is the perfect racket. It's even better than the human psychic, because with the humans, you can check in and be like, hey, didn't that work out? Any of those predictions they gave you that work out? You're like, no. Okay, well, I don't believe that's a psychic. You can't go to a pet and be like, hey, that pet psychic that predicted that stuff, whoa, how'd it go? There's no report card. So there are pet psychics in every city. And you would think, no, only weirdos fall for this stuff. Amy paid a pet psychic.
Yes,
hi. More than once.
I have. Once for my dog and another time for my cat.
But a pet psychic isn't as much predicting the future for the animals, but telling you how they're feeling. It's more like a communication.
I was able to learn that my dog might have some gut issues. But yeah,
my dog
no,
doesn't.
She was more so.
I learned my dog likes to sniff other butts.
It was fascinating to me what she was able to tell me about like my life through my pet and like our home
and your Instagram feed.
How did they know? Instagram feed. You know?
Are you kidding me?
Okay. Just before I booked it, they didn't know who I was.
Okay, sure,
what's the story? Get to the story.
This lawyer quit her almost six-figure job to become a pet psychic. She makes $350 an hour speaking with animals, both living and dead.
Well, I didn't pay that, just to clarify.
I'll talk to your dead horse. It's my specialty. Call me up. I'll do it right now. $50 a minute. No, that's too much. I don't even want to do it for an hour, so I didn't want to. But you can fake this so easily.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
At least with humans, if you fake it, you eventually get caught and found out. With animals, they can't call your bullcrap.
Yeah, you just and you come up with like one script for if it's a dog person.
If they say this, go to page
person.
7.
Yeah.
Nikki, who speaks to both living and deceased animals, telepathically asks them questions and records their responses on her phone.
Okay.
This is crazy.
But what if?
Daily Mail has the article. What? Hey, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd have a Merry Christmas. You know what I'm saying? There's no way this is real.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. I can't believe that one. A couple of hardcore Disney fans claim they had their dream wedding, and it involved them hiring Mickey and Minnie to make an appearance. And that appearance cost them about $3,000. But because of that $3,000, they couldn't buy any food or drinks. And so people that went to the wedding were upset. They went to a wedding with no food or drinks. And here's what I have to say to those people. Shut up. It ain't your wedding.
That's right.
Yeah.
Shut your mouth. Take that little snack hole you're looking to fill with the free food and shut it.
That's right.
Because they wanted Mickey and Minnie.
Mm-hmm.
So the bride tried to redeem herself. Said, you have to understand, it was Disney's official wedding, Mickey and Minnie.
Wow.
Yeah, great. That's awesome. If you love it, go for it. So people are upset. But people that get upset about weddings are so weird. Weddings that they were invited to. It's not your wedding. You didn't pay a dang cent for it. Why are you upset about it? New York Post has that story. I saw another story, too. And maybe you saw the video where the guy is proposing to the girl, and then the Disney worker comes up from behind and grabs the ring. And is like, nope, can't propose here.
Whoa. Yeah.
And why is it that it's not allowed there?
Well, I think it's in that position. It was like Princess Castle in front of it on stage.
They were in a restricted area where you're not supposed to be. And in the middle of the proposal, the guy comes up and grabs the ring. The guy just got down on a knee, and he comes out of nowhere, rips the ring
out. You haven't seen it, Eddie?
Uh-uh.
And then he runs down the stairs with the ring.
And says, come down here.
He's like, come down here. And he gives it to the guy's like, wait, what? So they're saying, that couple is saying they had permission. And Disney's saying, we're going to make this up to you, but Disney's not saying if they had permission or not.
Okay.
But the video looks bad. He's like, the guy's in all white, and he gets down on a knee, and she's freaking out. And they've been to Disney so many times, it's like their thing. And she's like, and then all of a sudden, zip, right through with the ring and right down the stairs. It's like, you ain't getting this.
That's crazy.
Hilarious and sad. And it's like, now I'm sure it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's a viral moment. Disney's
going
to make it up to them.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Hey, that guy, he knew they weren't supposed to get engaged there.
But he is.
It's his job, probably.
No, so, that is the dork that never had any power. He was the hall monitor in high school that wanted to pick on people.
And, I'm not arguing with you there.
Like, goodness, take your job a little too serious.
But his job was to make sure that nobody proposes or does anything there. He just should have, once it got to the knee, he just should have been like, I lost.
Yeah, because,
I let them finish.
What, Lunchbox, if that was his job and he doesn't try to do anything about it, what
you
if
get
he gets
trouble
in trouble?
Fired.
Like,
it just happened. There was a camera. There was a whole thing. It's a bad look. Hilarious, though. Robert in Georgia is on the phone right now. Hey, Robert. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, CEO.
Morning.
I service porta potties for a living. One of them is portable. Mm-hmm. And, the other day I found a $100 bill in there. I looked at it, and I was like, well, I just sucked it up. My question is, do you think I did the right thing?
Did you keep it? Did you take it out of the...
No, he sucked it in.
No, I know, but I'm saying that he...
I let the machine suck it up.
Got it. I have sucked things up with my vacuum, and then I go and get it. You know, so I didn't know if he went and got it, but now I'd have sucked it up. Goodbye.
What?
I wouldn't have reached in there with my hand.
Oh, I would have.
Maybe I'd have called somebody and be like, hey, I found 100. You can have it if you give me half.
If you get it.
I just can't. I'd remember that moment the rest of my life. When I went knees deep in a porta potty.
Ugh.
Money spends, that memory don't. Tastes forever. Hey, Robert, I'm going to give you a chance to win a 50. Wait, what did you do, Robert, by the way? You just sucked it up and it was gone?
Yeah, I mean, I thought about it the other day when I dumped. I seen it go back out and do the drain. I was like, well, where went that money?
Oh, yeah, I got it then. Two shots there. I'm going to give you a shot at a $50 Sonic gift card right now. How would you like that, Robert?
Maybe I should have left it out.
Okay. He can't let it go.
Let it go, Robert.
Yeah,
let it go.
Free yourself. I'm going to give you a chance here.
Get $50 here, I guess.
We're going to play Name 1 Second of a 90s Country Song. Razor's going to play it. We got to name it by that 1 second. Robert, who would you like to represent you in the game this morning? You have Amy, Lunchbox.
Yeah.
You have Eddie, or you have me?
I'll pick Lunchbox.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. Wait,
well, Robert makes one bad decision after another. Now,
he doesn't understand.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Ray. We're going to do 7 of these. We'll give Lunchbox 3 points to start.
Oh.
Boom.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's how bad you are.
No, but let's give him a shot here.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you get all 7, we can't catch you.
That's right. That's right.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's right. I know.
That is right. If you do that math.
So Lunchbox is up +3.
Wow, this is exciting.
He's already up right now?
Yeah, he's up.
I'm sitting in the lead right now.
Okay, Ray.
Who's in first?
All these are 90s country songs. You get 1 second of it. Go. Oh, that's just drums.
I'm in.
Hit that again, please. Mm-hmm. We'll do it each time. We'll do it just 3 times.
Hey, this is tough.
That's only 1 second. All right, one more time. Oh, that's too much. That's too much. Answers are down.
I already am in. I'm already in.
Lunchbox, what do you have?
Oh, it's Carrying Your Love With Me. I got that the first one. Boom, yeah, I was the first one in.
Me too.
Same.
Eddie?
Got it. Carrying Your Love With Me.
Lunchbox has 4 points now.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
That one was so easy. You guys were stressing. That was first
You knew
beat.
Just with the drums?
Yes. Huh. That was it.
All right, number 2. Name it 1 second. I got that one.
Yeah.
And
if he keeps getting them, we can't catch him.
I know, this is not good.
But that's good. We want the call.
I don't
win.
Know the name of the song.
I want me to win. He didn't pick me.
But here, I'm out for
$100. I'm out for vengeance.
That was his problem.
Yeah. Here we go. Do it again.
Okay.
I'm vengeance.
I feel like that's longer than the
Batman says. Hey,
guys,
it says
guys,
Batman.
Guys,
goes,
guys, hey.
They're
hey,
like, who
hey,
are
hey.
You? He's like, I'm vengeance. One more time.
Shh.
All right, there's your third time.
We already got it, Lunchbox.
I understand, but
and
I'm
you talk over everybody else when they play.
I know, but when I'm in, I need silence. Well, oh. I can sing the song. I just don't know the name of the song.
Okay, 5 seconds.
Well, if you can sing it, then you can come up with the name.
What do you have over there?
There's Your Trouble.
That's correct.
Bam.
Yes!
Oh, my gosh. Oh, good.
Yes!
That's what I have anyway.
Yeah, me too.
Same.
Wow. Ray, is that what that is?
Yep. Yeah!
I used to karaoke this. Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, he's going to... You have 5 now?
I got 5.
All right.
Oh, man, I'm getting nervous over here.
All right,
but
go.
No chance.
Oh, he can get this one?
Nah.
How much you want to bet?
Nothing.
Okay.
Well... Okay. Careful, Lunch.
No, there's nothing to be careful about.
I got it. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just scared he's going to get it, and he's going to put us 1 away from having to go perfect.
Yeah. No, you're going to have to be perfect.
But you can't get cocky. You got 3 given to you.
Well, but I've been undefeated so
That's
far.
That's true. You got me. That's true. Go ahead. What do you got?
Grundy County Auction.
It's wrong. Thank God.
No, it
it's called Sold.
It's called Sold.
And then parentheses, Grundy County. County.
Yeah,
auction.
Sorry,
what
buddy.
Have,
that's what I put, Grundy County auction.
Oh, no.
That doesn't count?
It's sold.
Boo.
What?
Nice.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, you know it. Sold. Hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign? I'd do anything to make mine on mine.
I'll do your bidding and be at your beck and call. County
auction. Nice job.
I cannot believe the parentheses got me.
Classic.
But I thought parentheses go first. Remember in a math equation.
No. Here we go. You do the parentheses first. They're not always listed first. All right. Here we go. Next up.
I don't know that one.
Ooh.
Oh.
We do that one again, Ray.
Losing my group.
I'm in.
Oh, all I hear
you know
is
that
sold.
One?
Not 100%.
Do it
About
again.
80.
I do anything to make you money on
my No, stop! I just had gotten that
sorry,
out of my
sorry.
Head.
Sorry, sorry. Okay, hit it again, Ray.
Oh, man. He always goes a little longer on that third play.
I have it.
You got it?
I
100%?
I had to sing up to the point. All right. Amy, what do you have? Oh, you're going to give it away.
Yeah, Amy.
I thought he's in. He has to already be in.
He's not.
Well, you started singing, so I...
Okay. Well, all I have is...
What do you have, Lunchbox?
Itty Bitty.
I don't think that's what it's called. No. It may be called Itty Bitty. I don't think that's what it's called,
it's
though.
It's not.
I have what? Little Bitty.
Oh,
Alan
no.
Jackson?
Yes.
Amy?
I just have Itty.
Oh, you have Itty as well? Itty Bitty?
That's Itty. That's all I got time to write down.
Itty was... It had been wrong.
Itty...
Itty what?
It's not. It's okay to. Oh, it's okay to be.
It's little, okay to be little bitty.
It's all right.
It's all it right.
Little town or a big old city, might as well sing.
Okay, so Eddie, what do you have? Get it?
That's funny you asked, Bones. I have itty bitty.
Oh no!
That's what I'm saying. We sing it wrong.
Wait, Ray, which one is it? Then am I wrong?
It's little bitty.
Okay.
Oh, are you sure?
You might want to check the parentheses.
There are no. I don't think there are parentheses in that one.
Itty bitty.
Little bitty.
Parentheses
itty
small.
Bitty.
Okay, parentheses, Grundy County Auction.
We got us a ball game here, folks.
What's the score?
5-4.
You have 5?
Yeah, 4.
I have 4, and there are 3 left?
Yeah.
Okay, Ray, hit me with something else.
What?
Don't look at me.
Hit it again. Let me sing this one.
This is tough.
Oh, I don't want to do it out loud because I'll do it.
Oh.
I have no idea.
I think I can sing it without him even knowing. Lunchbox even knowing.
Okay, give me a hint.
Let me give us the melody. Ray, can you hit that again? I got it. Got it.
It bones stops.
I can't do too much, yeah. But I need to make sure I got it.
But you got it.
Okay.
Are you meditating, Lunch?
Play it again, Ray.
I don't know.
Lunchbox, what do you have?
Forever's Trip.
No, it's a
That's
song.
That's an artist.
It's not a song.
Eddie?
How Forever Feels.
I have How Forever Ooh, Feels, Kenny Chesney.
Let's
That's
go.
It.
What do you have, Annie?
I had nothing.
Itty bitty?
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Let's just play for a second because I think it goes. No, that's the chorus, though. Yeah. Doesn't it still start? Oh, there we go. Right?
Jimmy Buffett.
If they just slow the speed of the song down, it'd be a lot better.
Oh, yeah?
I like slow Kenny. They stretch it out a little bit. All right, Lunchbox, we're tied up, buddy.
Yeah,
5-5.
They got a little harder.
Yeah, they have.
All right.
These are obscure songs we're playing now.
This is not obscure.
I want to know how Jimmy Buffett feels. Right?
Yeah.
I've heard that.
You don't know that?
No, I know it.
Okay. Ray, hit me with another one.
Ooh, in.
I got it.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm out.
One more time. And I said, hey, pretty lady, won't you give me a sign?
Bones, don't give it away.
Oh, okay.
You got it.
I do?
Do you have it, Lunchbox?
Play again. Yeah, I'm in.
What do you got?
Watermelon.
Say watermelon crawl?
Yep.
Yeah, all right, good.
Yeah. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Hit that.
Yes!
Hit that, right?
Yes!
Jam. Keep it up.
I was driving through Georgia in late July on a day hot enough to
Well, the devil's side. We got one more. Here's what I'm going to do. If you just get this one.
For all the marbles.
You win. I won't even compete with you on this one.
That's what I'm talking about.
If you just get this one, you win the prize for Robert. He gets all the marbles, as you say.
Yeah, let's go.
Are you ready?
$50. Yeah.
Ray, hit the 1 second of this 90s country song.
What was that?
Hold on, I'm not there. Can you play it again?
Okay, enough. Do that in your head, Bone.
I got it.
You said you weren't competing.
I know, but I got it in case you don't.
One more time.
Amy, I think you're out.
Yeah, Amy's been out for a long time.
That's all right. I still like to
Lunchbox, I'll give you a hint.
Oh, hold on here.
No. Why would you give him a hint? You already gave him 3 points.
To give the listener a chance to win the prize.
Eddie,
hey, Lunchbox.
You didn't win?
Lunchbox, you need the song, right? But isn't it, the artist's name is John.
Oh, it's John Michael Montgomery.
Parentheses.
Hit it again.
Itty bitty sold.
Ray, hit again.
I think it's John. Ray, am I on the right song? Is it John? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. What is John Michael?
A Lunchbox think here.
No, it's not him.
But give him Ray, give him 10 seconds.
That's it.
Yeah. I know it's, you know what? No, I can't be that one.
All right, Lunchbox, we need an answer.
Well, I want to write down check yes or no, but I don't think that's right. It's Chase Amy Lou around the playground. She still gets to me.
That's not right.
And John sings that?
John Michael Montgomery?
No. Okay, your answer is?
Check yes or no.
No. It's I believe that's Straight Tequila Night.
Yep.
John Anderson. On a straight tequila. Don't ask her on a straight tequila night.
She'll start thinking about him. And she's ready to fight. And blames her broken heart on every man inside.
Take a lunchbox.
I don't know. Gosh, man, so close. I was one away from winning the thing.
Yeah, well, Robert. Robert, are you there, buddy?
We almost had it.
I know.
Robert, I am so sorry, dude. Like, it just wasn't my day. Any other day, I'd have nailed that.
All right, Robert.
I mean,
I'll be in now.
Sorry,
I had a customer talking to me.
Oh, you're all right. Let's give Robert. Robert, can you hear those song clips when we play them? Can you hear the song clips when we play them through the phone?
Yes.
Okay, see if you can name this one. Play whatever you have next up there, Ray. For the win, Robert, go.
Hey, I'm gonna have to go through my head.
Ray, play it again for him.
I'm a farmer working man.
That's it, he got it! Oh, it. What'd you say?
We did it!
No, you didn't.
We. Yeah, Robert, we won!
We?
Yeah! Was he on my team?
We. Are you French?
I'm a hard working man. I wear a steel hard hat.
All right, Robert, stay on the phone, buddy. We're going to get you a prize here. Go get you one of these sour... What?
I love you so much.
What?
I got to clean this porta potty.
Okay.
He's got to run.
He's got to go.
Okay, well, get his info and get him his gift card. All right. I did go and get a Sour Patch Kids float. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, my kids got one last night.
They're pretty awesome. And I tell you, I was a little intimidated because I thought they were going to be the big Sour Patch Kids. No, no, they're tiny. It's tiny, tiny. Mm-hmm. It's easier. So, pretty good because... There's ice cream on top of it. You see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's in a cup, and it's got the sour slush and got the ice cream on top of it. It's pretty awesome. So go get you one. You can do the spoon with the ice cream. You can do the straw. It's the perfect summery situation at Sonic. It's awesome. So go get you a Sour Patch Kids slush float. It is really, really good. All right. There you go. Thank you for that call. Thank you for the game. Nice job. Well, lunch, you didn't win.
Yes.
You gave it a good effort. All right. Thank you, guys.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Okay, if you're in Target Circle, then you already know what I'm talking about. And if you're not, you don't. However, this is for everybody because the all-new Target Circle, it's the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target. And again, if you're already a member, I'm going to break some news to you. Now, when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will automatically be applied at checkout. That means, boom, you're automatically going. Now, there's Target Circle 360, so unlimited same-day delivery. Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door, well, or to someone else's door, too. And right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first-year membership. That's $50 off the regular price. Now, if you've already been using Target Circle, you know how amazing this is. So you can upgrade to Target Circle 360, or you get an automatic upgrade whenever it's like, you know, now it's automatically applied, which is super cool. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you can save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35. For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Want to say thanks. for everybody who has helped with St. Jude. I mean, you guys are changing lives. You guys are saving lives. St. Jude has been leading the way to the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of cancer. And I'm talking about childhood cancer. Your support actually means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food. So the parents can focus on being a parent and helping their kid live. You know, I never had cancer, but I was in the hospital as a kid for a long time. And I just remember how difficult it was, how scary it was. And then I remember getting out and having to figure out how to pay the bill. I didn't have to pay it, but you know, somebody did. But St. Jude eliminates a lot of that. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in Hope. You'll get an awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join the doctors, the researchers. Hey, join me in this fight and visit musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. So the Oklahoma Sooner softball team, if they win the national championship, which starts tomorrow, they will be the most successful softball team in the history of softball. They'll be the best ever, which is crazy. And the head coach is Coach Patty Gasso, who's won 5 national championships. And you may wonder, wow, I've never really heard Bobby talk a lot about softball. But she's kind of family now because it's my brother-in-law's mom. And so I'm going to go to Oklahoma City. We're going to watch Oklahoma. We're going to watch Oklahoma take on Texas. And I would never root for anybody but Arkansas. But this is family, and I'm telling you, this is what we do, right?
Yep.
So big national championship game, and Coach Patty Gasso is on now. I mean, do I call you Patty? Do I call you Coach Gasso? What do I do here?
Yeah, I thought we were family, so you call me whatever you need to.
Okay.
You don't have to ask me.
Coach Gasso it is, then. I don't get in trouble when I see her. So whenever you're going into, like, a sixth championship here, is it to – are you more nervous the more you win because you're getting closer to, like, you know, being the best ever, or is it just another championship? Like, how do you compare these?
Yeah, I don't think I am nervous anymore. I do get a little nervy, but when I get out there, it's just, to me – my experience and my ability to be calm is very important for our team. So that's what I'm focusing most on. It's not thinking ahead, wow, we could be the greatest of all time, anything like that. It's just more of focusing in the moment and being present constantly throughout the game.
If, and I'll ask you this question before I go to the next thing, but do you believe in the jinx, Coach Gasso?
No, not at all. No. No.
Okay, outside of softball.
What are you trying to do?
Well, because I'm going to say some nice things, and I don't want you to be like, well, Bobby jinxed me, so I just want to know if you believe in the jinx or not. You don't believe in it at all?
No.
If they win the game, the championship here, 2 out of 3, they'll be the most successful team in college softball history, ever in the history of the world, since back in the Shakespeare days.
Oh.
Yeah, back in like 1700s. Yeah. So do you talk about that in the room? Like, we could actually be the greatest team of all time?
No, never. I try to keep this group humble and focused and not getting caught up in all of the noise and what we could be or what we should be or what people think we should be, because that really gets in the way. So we're focused really in the moment as much as possible.
Do you think about softball all the time?
I do not. I try to have a life. It's not a elaborate, glamorous one, but I love my family. I love my grandkids. And I love my dog.
when someone meets you, you could be seen as an intimidating figure because of your success, and also because, you know, you demand people's attention when you walk into the room. Do you see that about you? Is that on purpose?
No. I am probably, I try to have a sense of humor about things, but nothing about me is glamorous. Nothing is really exciting. I just try to live a normal life. I don't get caught up in what I do because that's what I do. It's not who I am. So, and that's really it. I just try to get away from softball and enjoy my family and the pool and vacations and whenever I can. But there's a lot of work that's involved in what I do, and it takes up a lot of time. So I really try to focus on getting away from that and trying to live. I just, sometimes you don't live. You're caught up in your job and you just aren't really living. So when I get that opportunity, I try to make the most of it.
Yeah, that's me. I like that part. That's what I do. I do a lot of not living, a lot of working. I have a wife now who tries to make me live a little bit, which has been a bit different because I've been so dedicated to my career, which now I've realized is not the only thing. And here you are, one of the most successful coaches in the history of sports, and you're also agreeing with her. Am I hearing that?
I will always agree with your wife, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I don't like that very much. Okay, Coach Patty Gasso is on with us. Hey, if you're down like 3 in the bottom of the 7th and you guys are up and you're freaking out on the inside, you don't show it on the outside, or do you not freak out on the inside anymore?
I don't freak out on the inside anymore because this team can do things that surprise me, or I never doubt them. So if I'm freaking out on the inside, that means I'm doubting them, and I never feel that way with this group.
If you win the national championship, at what point will you lift me above your head and carry me off the field?
I will lift you above my head and carry you off the field if you have a sooner hat, yeah, or
that
shirt
that ain't happening,
or visor on.
I do.
I can't help you, sir.
We can't do that. Now here's what I'm going to say, though. I do, because we're going. We wouldn't miss it for the whole world, and we'll be there. But I will wear blank. I will wear a blank look. I will not disrespect Coach Gasso and the Sooners, because I am rooting for them. They're playing Texas in the national championship game. I am rooting for them. It's family. And by my respect, my gift to you is I will wear no logo. Oh, come on.
What color shirt, though?
Probably white or black.
Okay. Neutral. Yeah, yeah. Neutral.
What about neutral? Come on, Patty. That's good, right?
No, neutral is bland and boring. You've got to decide, hey, I really appreciate Oklahoma softball, and dive right in. Nobody from Arkansas is going to think you're disrespecting. It's just respect. Look, if we are family, then you got to decide.
Yeah. What if I just wear her face on my head? What if I do that? Is that not it? If I just wear like Coach Gasso's face, Coach Gasso rules, so they know whose team I'm on, and that way it's kind of the same.
You're going to do what you're going to do.
Like
but
it.
Regardless, you're going to be judged either by Oklahoma or Arkansas. So
that's true. Arkansas.
Remember what
then.
State you're in. Yeah, remember what state you're in.
All right. She's playing for the national championship tomorrow, her and her team. It is a team unlike I've ever seen before. I would never in a million years root for anybody other than Arkansas, but I have now. Love her, and I'm obviously super close to her family. And you know what? I'm going to say it. I hope they win. And I lived in Austin for many, many years, very close to Austin. But, you know, when it comes to your own blood.
Yeah.
All right, Coach Gasso, good luck. I hope you guys do what you do. And it's been a real treat. I'll end on this question because you've been so proficient at what you do. What is the generic answer to, like, how are you great at something? If somebody's listening now and they need some motivation, some inspiration, like, what's the key to being great at something?
Well, I think in my job, it's just the passion for what I do. I love what I do. It doesn't feel like work. And when you are doing something you love, it's easy to do it. And I enjoy and appreciate working with our players. I hope that something I do makes a difference in their life. And to me, that's really powerful. If you have the ability to make a difference or change someone's life or help them through things, that's part of what life is about. So we're blessed and we're living a great life, and it's fun, and couldn't be happier.
And as they go into the championship game, and I'll say this because I'm completely unbiased, and if anybody else is in my family and is up for a national championship, then come on the show too. That's right.
Yeah, you have to equal opportunity.
To only family members, though. That's okay. Right. Coach Gasso, thank you. Good luck, and I hope you bring home another trophy.
I will have a hat, OU hat, waiting for you in your seat, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll see how that works out. All right. All right, there she is, Coach Patty Gasso. Bye, Coach.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from East Point, Georgia. Police were called when a woman came out of the store and her car was gone. Someone had broken in, stolen her Dodge Charger, and so police were there responding. They're driving through the parking lot, and they're like, man, that kind of looks like the car sitting in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. And they drive over there. Yeah, the suspects had stolen the car and drove it over to Chick-fil-A and were stuck in the drive-thru waiting for their order.
Oh, I understand the stuck part. I thought maybe they saw a Chick-fil-A with no drive-thru and they were like, we can't resist. I know we stole. There's nobody in line. This never happens. Like that I would understand. Because if you want to go to Chick-fil-A and it's at lunchtime, 11 to 1:30, it's wrapped around the building.
Yeah.
And if you want to go at dinner from 4:45 to 7:40, it's wrapped around the building. Always. You never drive up and go, unless you, that would be the time I would go. You steal a car. Like, we got to get out of here. Chris, did you see that? There's nobody in line. All right, Lunchbox.
I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
A former burglar says the best way to prevent break-ins, and it's also one of the cheapest, is to put up a sign that says, beware of dog.
Yes.
Not that I have an alarm, but that I have a dog, because nobody likes to get bitten or chased by a dog. I don't care who you are. I love dogs more than all you combined. However, I don't like to be chased by a dog. I don't know. So put up that sign. And he says, we see that. We don't go there. Because just in case you're telling the truth.
Yeah. Wow. I just don't want the standard beware of dog sign that they
I do.
They
and I want blood all over it. Like I want fake blood all
like
over it.
Like a license plate. Like I need it to look a little bit, you know, I don't know.
No, and then I like a bite out of it. Like I'm going to cut a bite out
of it.
Like
the dog bit it?
Yeah, like the dog's so mean he got mad at that sign and ate that sign. Yeah. Killed it. Rest in peace sign.
Okay.
Then I put a grave of the sign.
Mm.
Oh, no. Then I put a grave of the last burglar that was here. Johnny John Burglar.
Is that too much?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think if anybody was thinking about it, they'd see that and go the other way.
Gotta commit.
Mm-hmm. So put that sign up if you're worried about burglars. We will see you tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. Big show Fridays. Hank Jr. is in on Fridays. So thank you and goodbye, everybody.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.